Send a movie idea.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at The Dream Factory are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the cash it raises will be used to fund a disastrous rebrand. I'm Joel, a man who puts the tit into Elon Musk has done it again. And across from me is John Harris, a man who is so afraid of change and rebrands that he still calls his breakfast Snickers a marathon. Hello, John.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, It's tough when I'm telling people I'm going to a marathon this weekend and they're very disappointed when I just eat a chocolate bar. But
just eat a chocolate bar. John had 3 marathons this weekend. It's pretty impressive stuff. I'm actually having a half marathon this weekend, but more on that later.
Half a chocolate bar is not impressive, John.
How?
I told you many times before.
But I mean, it is when you consider I've got a deadly allergic reaction to peanuts. I'm taking myself to the brink this weekend. Good fun, isn't it? When you see the X, when you log into Twitter now, you see that X everywhere.
Really good fun.
It's very confusing because a lot of the words still say tweet.
Shall I bring you our first movie idea because it's relevant to this and then we can get the ball rolling? This one comes from Martin. X-Men, the true story of the rebranding of Twitter.
Very good. Very good. So it's the only people left working at Twitter are mutants. Is that right? Is Elon Musk? Elon Musk, I guess, is kind of the Magneto guy.
Yeah.
But instead of having, here's his superpower, instead of having the ability to manipulate metal, everything he touches turns to shit.
He's like
Midas.
The Shidas
touch.
The
Shidas touch. Everything he touches turns immediately to shit. And he's got together a band of brave warriors to help him rebrand his latest acquisition, Twitter. Shitter. We won't
make any sort of specific allusions to what I might be discussing, but we were having a chat yesterday, me and Joel, over WhatsApp about, I would love the idea of selling a company for loads of money and then just watching the people afterwards burn it to the ground.
Yeah, it's interesting that you don't really seem to care too much about legacy or anything like that. You're happy to build an empire, sell it to someone, and then for that empire to be stamped out of existence and burned, which is, I guess, quite satisfying.
I think it's more because by that point I've sold it, so I've had to have in some way given it up.
And you've done
so
your bit.
Yeah, and so I sort of think there's an element of you can sort of sit back, going, hey, "See, it's not that easy to run, is it?"
That's true. That's true. And you kind of took it to its peak.
Exactly. So
yeah,
yeah. And I mean, the issue here is, and whatever you think about Elon Musk, and there is one way that I think. I think anyone listening to the podcast probably knows how we feel about Elon Musk. But whatever you think about it, he's built like a villain. Like he's a billionaire from sort of, he made a lot of money, but he had a lot of money from the beginning. And I believe there's some sort of allegedly some blood diamonds in his past.
Emeralds, John.
Sorry.
Come on. They're not the most precious. I mean, yeah, people use that as a stick to beat Elon with, you know, they say he's the money he came from in South Africa. But people, look, it wasn't a diamond mine. It was pretty rough for Elon. It was an emerald mine. That's tough going, man. Like, that's like,
you know, he was only brought up on emerald money, not diamond money. You know, like, I don't see anyone criticizing the ruby miners out there of the world. I think to have get to where he's got just on the back of emeralds is pretty impressive.
And like, he's used some of his millions to create flamethrowers and stuff. It's just it sort of the optics are a bit villainy. So yeah, he lives in that
volcano. He's got a pet shark.
The thing is that they're not unbelievable statements. I think if a journalist told me, I've heard that he has a shark in a tank.
Yeah, I could believe in some sort of like mad climate denial move, he would choose to live in a volcano, the hottest place on earth, to prove that human life. As I prepare myself to live on Mars, I'm going to spend the next 2 years living in a volcano to prove that it's okay for humans to live in a volcano.
It's really...
What's the end goal, do you think? Like, he'll upload himself to some sort of computer? I don't know. Because they're obsessed... All the billionaires are obsessed with living forever, but they've all got pretty different approaches to it, right? There's that guy recently, who I'd never heard of before, who goes viral all the time now because he has like an insane routine to stay young.
Yeah.
Where he eats like 900 calories a day, all before 11 a.m. He's like regularly getting like... Is it his son's blood pumped into him?
I don't know about that bit.
Yeah, well, this is probably all pretty libelous, but I'm pretty sure he's farming children so that he can harvest their organs and their blood. No, but he's got this insane routine, exercise, diet, and he goes and has all of his blood replaced. And he's 42? And he says that he's 42 with the body of like a 18-year-old. But he looks like a... thin, he just looks like a thin 42-year-old man.
I know who you're talking about, and he's got this sort of like unbearable lifestyle so that he can have a liver that's 8 years younger than it should be. And you think, congrats, I guess.
It's whereas Musk, right? Musk isn't looking after himself. Wasn't there that famous photo of like there was nine Diet Cokes on his bedside table or whatever? So he's not going for the body of an 18-year-old. I reckon his end goal is like, have you seen that giant orb they've put in Las Vegas?
He's gonna upload his consciousness.
I think he
that.
Wants to be the orb. Yeah. I think Elon Musk ultimately will become the orb, and it'll be like a Big Brother star scenario. Zuckerberg is gonna become the ultimate fighting robot.
Yeah,
like from the movie Real Steel, everyone's favorite Hugh Jackman vehicle. Still waiting on the sequel, Real Steel 2. Can't wait. Zuckerberg's gonna become the ultimate fighting robot. Elon Musk, the orb. The guy who definitely farms kids for their organs is going to live forever.
The good news about the libel, the various bits of libel you've said against the guys, I don't think you've ever mentioned his name or any company he's worked for or anything. So I think legally we're fine. You can't trace it back.
He would have to identify himself. He would have to say, I'm the guy who harvests children. And you're leveling these accusations at me. So that's pretty sweet, actually. I can't remember his name. He's probably got some rich guy's name. So yeah, those are the plans for the billionaires. And Elon Musk is, everything he touches turns to shit, and that's his superpower. So maybe he makes Tesla fashion him some gloves so that he can go about his business. But then when the day he takes over Twitter, he loses the gloves, and that explains why it's all been an absolute fucking shitstorm since then.
He put on the fingerless versions, didn't really think.
He put on the fingerless gloves. Good stuff. Hey, how about this one from me? It's not from me, it's from Danielle. Zero Dark Thirsty. CIA operatives go looking for Osama bin Laden, but Chris Pratt's character forgets his water. We're in the desert without any water. But the thing is, right, I reckon Chris Pratt's new to the team and he doesn't want to say, I left my water. What else do you think operatives are taking to the desert? I imagine quite a lot of lip balm.
Is there like a real honesty between them and they just say it, or do you think there's like an embarrassment that like...
There's an embarrassment. I think if you're the new guy and you've forgotten your water bottle, you are not going to say a word. And so the film is just him progressively getting thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and drinking from more and more dubious sources of water, maybe hallucinating, becoming increasingly sick, but just constantly covering it up.
I quite enjoy the fact that this insight into Joel is that the first thing that CIA operatives need is water, and the second is lip balm.
Your lips are going to crack. Aren't they? You don't want anything to distract you. I also reckon if you've got a slash wound, now this is not sound medical advice, but if you got a slash wound and you covered it in Vaseline,
yeah,
I think it'd be okay.
Do not try that at home. Feels Bear Grylls-y, doesn't it? I know that the famous thing is that super glue was invented as a like an instant plaster.
Have I ever talked about my favourite London landmark?
Weekly.
Oh yeah, that's that feature we do. My Joel's favourite London landmark. So if you leave Liverpool Street Station and go through what I think is called Bishopsgate, as if you're walking towards Aldgate, that main road that runs all the way up to Old Street roundabout, you're going through the back cut-throughs near Bishopsgate. There is a fancy hotel opposite a bowling green. I hope everyone's paying close attention to the worst directions ever given. If you walk along the road between the fancy hotel and the bowling green that leads toward the road that leads towards Old Street, just outside of the hotel, there is a tiny, because they're always tiny, super glue bottle that's been stamped into the ground. And it has been there for, I think, 10 years.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
Every time I'm in the area, I go and check it out. I don't stand on it or kick it because I obviously worry, but it's just been stamped. It must have been stamped on when full and exploded, and no one's ever dealt with it. And it's there, and it's like a real anchoring, reassuring part of my life is the fact that that has been there. That's lived in London for probably the same amount of time that I have. And I used to walk that way to work every single day, and I'd always give it a little nod and a salute, like, hey, we're both still here. And it survived snow, heat waves. Nothing's melted it. Nothing's destroyed it. No street cleaners have spent enough time trying to, because you probably have to remove the paving slab at this point, right? So yeah, that's my favorite London landmark. I always recommend it to people when they're coming to town for the first time. I say, make sure you go and check out the tiny super glue. Houses of Parliament, the Tate, Catcham Theatre in the West End, but you must go and see the super glue tube that's near Flight Club and Barry's Boot Camp in the center of town.
If we ever had the time, we should do a TikTok video. It's like, London's hidden gems.
I thought you were going to say a live show at the super glue.
No,
like also a good idea.
Yeah, both are good.
I might start doing tours. Let me know if you'd be up for Joel's favourite London landmark tours. They are all on a par with the super glue. let's see if we can get that going. I reckon I'd do it. I'll do it for free, but it'd be a tip-based tour.
Just going way back, I think he's really forgetful. So he's thirsty because he's forgotten his water, but they get to the compound and they're like, hand over the mine. And he's like, about that.
And he opens his bag. What would be in his bag? It's just like loads of Lego or something.
And he like, he's face to face with Bin Laden and he's the only one left. And he goes to his gun holster.
And it's just a banana. That's good. That's fun stuff.
And the thing is, Chris Pratt can do the action hero and he can do the comedy, so we're fine.
We need to get some more comedy out of that guy. Look, I'm actually a bit worried. I don't think our listeners are these type of people, but I'm actually quite worried about the super glue tube.
You think they'll go and kick it?
I don't know, man. Someone might go and dig it up.
Listeners, just know the level I gave of upset that it'll bring Joel.
I gave such brilliant specific directions. I might as well deliver the what three words of where that super glue tube is. The exact longitude and latitude. I'm a bit worried someone's going to go and steal it. But don't, please. If you're near it, please get a photo with it.
Get a photo with it. This is Joel's retirement plan, so don't nick it, right?
I'm a little bit stressed. It's okay.
Into his old age.
There's no one listening to this podcast that is the sort of mean-spirited person that would go and remove a super glue tube
from a paving site.
There's no way.
It's like a Banksy.
It is a bit like a Banksy.
A little plastic glass cage around it.
Put a glass cage around it. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I might do that immediately after we've recorded. John, we should probably do some more film ideas. I feel like we've done two. And we're near to what I like to call the end of the episode.
This one comes from Oscar. It's called The Flush. So I guess like superhero, toilet-based superpowers.
Oh, The Flash. Wow. The Flash has created such small cultural footprint that I had absolutely no idea what The Flush was a play on. Rush? That film about the F1 drivers? The Flush,
He'd be in a good superhero team with Elon's X-Man. If Elon turns him to shit, The Flush flushes it.
Yeah! But no one can stop us, provided we're near decent plumbing. The Flush, okay. It's the world's fastest toilet.
Wait, so the superhero is
which
like
I think you find on trains and aeroplanes.
The superhero is an anthropomorphized toilet.
Yeah.
Little face running around on its little legs.
Exactly. Okay. Armistice Shanks comes to life.
And at one point he does stab someone and Elon goes, oh, Armitage really does shank.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I think if you've got a flush that powerful, what does he do? Does he like suck people in? You know how you use a toilet on a train and you kind of hold on to the sides when you press the flush because it is so powerful that you're worried that you'll disappear down it. It's kind of like that's his power. He flushes with such intensity that he makes you disappear forever.
I've just realised at the end of the film there's a big action sequence where he's doing it, but actually for most of the film he's sort of like a silent assassin type and he basically hides
silent
until the murdering happens, so he sort of goes to the villain, like a villain or a henchman or something, they just need the toilet during their shift and they accidentally go and sit on him, and so then when they go to flush,
nice,
they're gone.
That's pretty good, man. Who would be the hero? It'd have to be someone that can block a toilet, which is a shame. This isn't really the sort of humor I like to indulge in, John, but the hero would have to be some sort of toilet blocker.
So a big plunger? No, because that's unblocking the toilet.
No, plunger will be on his side.
Can't he be the hero and Elon Musk is the villain? He's making massive turds to try and block this toilet.
Excellent. And he's just turning everything into a poo and throwing it at the toilet. And then we've got a Batman and Robin scenario, and the Robin-esque character is a plunger who comes in at the last minute to clear the blockage just so that he can suck Elon down. Let's move on. I hate that we're talking this much about poo.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How about this one from Con? This one hasn't got a title, but it is it's an idea. It's a horror film about a guy, and every time he sees a crab, it's bigger than the last crab that he saw. And the horrifying consequences that will have. Now, I know how this was workshopped by Con. Originally, it was a dog, but he decided there's just too many dogs and that within about 20 minutes, there'd be a dog bigger than the universe. If you went to the park and every time you looked at a dog, it was bigger than the dog before, you would look once around the park and then like a Dogzilla-sized dog would be just marching through the city. So he settled on a crab, which I think is pretty good because I don't know how many crabs you see in your life. And I do think it would reach the point where you kind of notice, I think you could reach kind of your teenage years before you even started to suspect that crabs were getting pretty big.
Yeah.
And then one day you'd be walking past a restaurant where they've got like lobsters and crabs in the aquarium and one of them just busts out.
Yeah, so it's upon laying your eyes on the crab that it suddenly becomes bigger than the previous one you've seen.
Yeah.
That is good.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I like
And I think obviously ultimately, yeah, you spot a crab in a rock pool when you're like, I don't know, 30 years old, and it emerges from the sea at like 100 foot tall.
Like a kaiju.
Yeah. What would you do if John, every time you saw a crab, it was bigger than the last crab that you'd seen, would you move inland? Would you gouge your eyes out? What would you do?
I think, so you'd the government would find out eventually, right?
Yeah, they always do. They are so quick. The government are so quick to find people like this. What do you mean the government would find out? How would they know?
I don't want to sound like...
This one guy is always near the giant crab spot. You could maybe use him in some sort of farming scenario where he like, you keep him in a hanger.
Yes.
You keep him in a hanger and you Clockwork Orange's eyes open and you just walk in a tiny crab and then boom, the crab is 100 foot tall. They kill it and they use it to feed people. Yeah. And then it becomes more of an ethical quandary, I guess, because he's feeding 5,000 people with one crab.
I like that, I think. Yeah, I think I like that. Go.
Yeah. And eventually, maybe it ends with him gouging his own eyes out.
Imagine the pan you're using to cook that crab, though.
It's pretty big. You could, you know, the sheer number of crab sticks you could make.
Well, yeah. That was my concern, was if you go into a supermarket, like, are the dead crabs, do they count? Would you just...
You can't make a dead crab grow.
Fine.
That's okay.
That would actually solve your issue earlier about killing the 100-foot crab, if actually they just bring a dead crab to him and it just then becomes 100-foot
tall. No,
it
has to be alive. It has to be peril. It has to have giant pincers. It has to like tear through the roof. So yeah, I think it's a pretty solid idea. I think a crab is maybe the perfect animal for that scenario. And everything else you see too little, everything else you see too much. Like, imagine if it was wasps.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I would just stay inside a darkened room for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but what I'd constantly try and get you on FaceTime with wasps.
But you would be on the other side of the call with those enormous wasps.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really think that through. It'd be the ultimate weapon. You'd answer the call all the time, and then you'd answer it. I'm like, John, look at this wasp, and then all of a sudden, it's just a mega wasp.
Yeah, the CIA would get me in and they would basically get me to FaceTime people they want to bring down.
Yes. They would take a tiny wasp in a jar to you know, an enemy base, and then they would get you to FaceTime the wasp. Madness. They would get you to FaceTime the wasp and the wasp would become enormous. I don't know what happens after the wasp has taken everyone down. I don't know how they contain it.
Maybe
they just hang up and forget about it.
That's that country's problem now. Oh dear.
Good stuff, man. Hey John, about you give me another idea and then we do our ideas, because we're rattling along here.
Right, what about this one from Beck? The Shape of Walter. Now, I had to do some googling of Walters, because it's not a particularly common name. It's an American name. So we've got White.
Is it?
Well, it Walter feels White. Like a, because of the responses I got, so you got Whitman, who I believe is like an American poet. Writer and poet.
Writer and poet. I think the two big, you've got Disney.
That's the other one I've got. And then there's a lot of American sports people who came up in my searches, like baseball and basketball players.
Did Walter Softy from the Beano not come up?
He did not.
Did he not?
He's a weird shape. Okay. That would
Walter
be good.
Walter Erasure. He is a weird shape, yeah. So the Shape of Walter, is it... Okay, so it's a woman working in... I think I watched The Shape of Water on a plane.
Okay.
I have very, very, very vague memories of it. She falls in love with a crab, and every time she sees it, its heart gets bigger with love. Is that right?
Pretty much.
So she's working in a lab where they're trying to grow the perfect water.
Okay.
No, the name Water is dying out, so they're creating a mega hunk called Water in a lab in the hope that it will inspire a generation of parents to name their children Walter.
And what's their incentive? Why do they want Walter to come back
it's
so bad?
It's being funded by Big Walter.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, the Water Board. And
very good.
Thank you. They're concerned about... This is actually... Right, sorted, got it, done. Bob Iger is actually spending all of Disney's money trying to make sure the name Walt survives.
Yes.
Because it's not very popular anymore. And we've actually reached a point now where if you say Walt Disney, people don't even really recognize that as a name, because Walt, it sounds alien. I'm sure if you said to Gen Z Walt, they would think it was an abbreviation. They would think maybe it was some sort of cool new dance DJ, John.
Walt,
you know the dance DJ?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so they are trying to bring the name Walt back into the popular consciousness in a big lab. They create the perfect Walt, and the lab assistant falls in love and breaks Walt out. There you go. Are we happy with that?
Or... It's, no. I think it's a cleaning person. What if it's a right? Because it's in a lab and it's someone falling in love with something they shouldn't, and it's called Walt. Why isn't it just that she happens to work at the place where Walt Disney's head is cryogenically frozen, and she falls in love?
She falls in love with the cryogenically frozen head of Walt Disney and breaks it out, and they go on the run.
Yes,
like a Thelma and Louise situation. That's great.
There we go.
Good stuff. Hey, John, would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
Here's one from me. Floppenheimer. Zack Snyder goes to extreme lengths to make sure his next movie is a box office smash.
Ah, that's good.
So he's been down on his luck for so long. He gets given one final budget by a big studio, and the movie is about the pressures, and it has all of the close-up anguish shots that Oppenheimer has, but just of a man trying to make another film about Batman.
And I assume he makes an incredibly enormous explosion as part of the film, right?
Enormous, absolutely enormous.
Bigger than the atomic bomb.
It's bigger than the atomic bomb.
Crazy stuff.
It's the batomic bomb.
Zack Snyder, he's one of those crazy guys. What about this one from me? Fastidious, the red door. So that's Insidious.
Good, yeah.
I had to explain that because we didn't get the flush. You weren't going to get fastidious. A ghost is obsessed with tidiness. Would be good. Imagine being haunted by someone who does the tidying.
Oh, that'd be so helpful. That'd be so helpful. Yeah. How much sort of horror would you put up with if the ghost also did all of the chores?
It's a good question.
They do everything. John, they do everything. They clean, they do a deep clean once a week. They do 2 to 3 sort of provisional cleans during the week. All of your washing is done. All of the washing up is done. I would say they cook 2 out of 3 meals a day, but in the night there will be screaming and there will be kind of like the sounds of like death and murder and torture. For maybe 10 minutes per night. And the occasional, like, there'll be the occasional out of the corner of your eye, you'll think your coat is a person. You're not sure.
Yeah.
A door might slam. Are you doing that deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Be weird when you have guests over.
And also, judging by this ghost, I feel like they'd probably be happy for us to sort out a rota. So I'd be like, can you do it at like 5 in the morning or something rather than sort of 2?
Would you like the slogan for this film?
Yes, please.
It's things that go sillet bang in the night.
As I was going to say, when it's slamming that door, it's slamming the door because you've left your socks by the bed or something.
Oh, yeah. It gets annoyed. Because you start leaving the house in a fucking mess. Because you know the ghost is going to... So the harder the chores, the more horrifying
the horror, yeah.
The screams. So you have to kind of find out the perfect equilibrium between the... I think this is a great idea.
Thank you very much. What's your favourite?
Hey, John, what was my favourite? I think it's the ever-increasing crab.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it's kind of like a thought experiment, and I have been thinking about it non-stop for a week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to think about that outside of this podcast. Listener, let us know what animal you would like to have increase every time you saw it.
Every time you saw one. Don't get in touch if you're like a sheep farmer or something. That would be absolutely horrifying. So well done, Con. It's the crab that gets bigger, and we need to leave, actually, John.
We all know where this is going.
I've just seen my 15th crab. Well done, John. How are you doing?
All good, thank you. Well, actually, I feel terrible if I'm being totally honest with you, John.
Yeah, you seem a bit poorly.
I've went to a festival at the weekend with my son and my partner and her family, and it was lovely but very exhausting, and I think I've got... festival flu or whatever you call it.
You've got fresher's flu. You've got the festival. I didn't think a sort of family-friendly festival with a child would give you... You'd be on such a come down, but fair play, mate. You managed to juggle.
You should have seen the narcotics that I was mixing this weekend. It was nuts.
The cowpole. The cowpole you were downing.
Yeah, so it was lovely. Saw some bands, had a lovely time. Saw Mel C. I sent Joel messages saying, would not recommend seeing Mel C. And then...
Yep. Do you know what's really funny is that I think you must have been in a bit of a signal black hole because all 8 messages came through in the same minute. So obviously you were
living
it
at the time.
You were watching the set and living it and sort of live blogging it by saying, wouldn't recommend watching Mel C. Oh, wait, no, she's doing this song, she's doing this song. But because they came through at speed, it was like Mel C was doing a 5-minute mega mix of all of the classics. was like you were getting 10 seconds of Zigga Cigar and then moving on. It sounds great.
Is there any pop culture you would like to recommend?
The Women's World Cup. I've been watching the Women's World Cup. It's great. I would say I'm really enjoying it. I just watched Spain be brilliant and I'm excited that there's football on every day.
Amazing.
There's my recommendation. The Women's World Cup. And it's probably a pretty good time for you, John. There's a lot of games at 6 a.m. A lot of games at 8 a.m. Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of halfway through the day for you. So there's when you're having your lunch at 6 a.m, you could watch Japan versus Costa Rica.
I would like to recommend a podcast called The Retrievals. You may have heard of it. It's the new one from Serial and the New York Times. I'd place a big trigger warning on it, though, because it's about a scandal at a fertility clinic. So, listener, if that sounds like something you would definitely not be interested in listening to, do not. It is very delicately done, but, you know, obviously, you know, look after yourselves. But yeah, it's definitely worth listening to if that doesn't sort of concern you. Really good.
Nice. Awesome. I'll give it a listen. Well, yeah, well done, John. We'll do this again, I reckon, next week.
It's a deal. It's a date. It's a...
See you there, listener.
Something else. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.